Hey, welcome back to the Race BMX Show, Ride Out and Culture Exchange BMX Show. I gotta admit, this is possibly one of the most exciting episodes we've ever had because we have one of the men that was there at the beginning of the invention of BMX itself. This is Gary Turner. If you don't know who that is already, then you've probably heard of the initials GT. And if you're watching this, I'm sure you've heard of both of them. Gary, thank you for appearing on my show today.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. Now, we all know that you were there at the beginning, but nowadays you guys sponsor and still make 20 inches, right?
Well, we started making a few 20 inches, but the demand seems to be more in the cruiser line nowadays.
And how do you feel about that?
Oh, it's good because guys like me can ride them.
Yeah, it's great, right?
It's way cool, yeah.
Dude, when in 2010, when I found the 2009 Ripper I got off of Craigslist, I was like, they make them in my size now. This is awesome. So what are you riding now?
Well, I actually ride, I have two different bikes that I carry with me. I ride around the neighborhoods, and I carry them with me when I go to the car races. I have a 26 and a 29 both.
Okay, well, what are you riding more, the 26 or the 29?
I seem to ride the 26. It's a little bit more comfortable for me. I'm not as long-legged as some guys are, but I like the 26. It's comfortable.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'10".
Okay, I'm 5'10", too, but I still like the 29. It makes me feel like I'm on my Schwinn Scrambler from when I was only 5 or whatever it was. What's it like seeing your own name on bikes all over, not just the U.S., but the world? Is that weird?
Yeah, you know, but it took a long time. It wasn't something that I started just seeing the day after I built my first bike. It took 30 years plus to start seeing my name worldwide. And, you know, it's always been gratifying to see that. I like the accomplishment of what I've done and you know, versus building the bicycle. I mean, the accomplishments of designing them and the graphics, everything. I've always just followed every part of the bicycle.
And what is the best part? Like the art of actually designing the frame and then seeing it come to life? Or is it the colors? Like, or is it everything?
It's everything, but I think designing the frame and, you know, coming up with the right kind of geometry and the right look is what I've always been after.
And what are you thinking about with geometry? Are you thinking about speed or wheelies or jumping from distances?
Well, when I started, it was all about, believe it or not, when I started, the crux of BMX was back in those days was all the little kids. I mean, they weren't no, you know, 30-year-olds or 25-year-olds been racing pro or anything. It was all 5 to 10-year-olds that were out racing in the sand lots.
Okay. And you were a dad with a 5 to 10-year-old, right?
Yes.
And you were already welding what?
Well, I started building 20-inch bikes for my son, Greg.
But were you a welder before you were a bike welder?
No, actually, I wasn't a welder, but I actually worked in a machine shop.
Ah.
And I worked in the maintenance department of the machine shop. And you know, I could do some welding, but just to repair a machine.
Okay.
It's a real art to weld 4130 chromoleum thin wall that makes BMX frames. It's an art.
And what got you started actually doing that? Or did you have a buddy doing the welding and you were doing the designing?
Well, in the absolute very beginning, I designed and built and did all the machine work. And I made my own fixtures to hold the frames. And then when I got them all, you know, cut and fitted together, then I would go over to my friend's shop and I'd put them into the fixture and then he would tack and weld them for me.
Okay. And did you end up tacking and welding as well at some point?
Yeah, at some point later on, you know, I got to the point that I needed more and more product. And I just told myself, hey, I had to do this. So I actually took welding classes at Cal State Fullerton. And so I could learn how to weld. And that's what I did.
All right. I got a speeding ticket on the way to Cal State Fullerton one time. Where were you getting the parts from in the beginning? Were you doing just the frames?
Well, when it very first started, I was actually just doing some frames because all the parts and pieces was kind of like, in the very beginning, was almost non-existent. That was like, it wasn't where you could just call somebody up and have them send you something. You actually had to go, you know, look around and kind of make your own parts fit the bicycle.
Okay.
I used to use, you know, early days, I'd use Campy hubs and Campy cranks, and I'd have to make them fit and work on a frame that I put together.
Yeah, and even back then, my favorite evolution of BMX is that we don't have those little drop gooseneck one with the metal triangle at the bottom. I love the fact that headsets and forks are one pieces now.
Yeah, you know, it's so much easier. The old days of all that threading and clamps and locks and, you know, double nutting them to hold them in place. You know, we don't do that anymore. Everything is just a slide and lock.
Yeah. I remember my dad cutting up Pepsi cans to help one of the kids down the street.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When did your bikes become bikes? When did they leave the family and spread out to the rest of the world?
Oh, gosh. I started actually building just frames and, you know, cutting and mitering and fitting them together. And in 1970, the end of 72, and I'd say that I started selling just frames only, 73 through probably 76.
Okay.
And we actually just, correction on that, we actually just built frames and forks at GT Bikes for quite a number of years. There was a demand for them, but then what we found out was that later on, like say 78, 79, we found that the bike shops were taking the frames and building them into complete bikes.
Okay.
You know, putting custom components on there, and then they in turn sold them retail-wise
as
a complete bike. And that's when we saw the writing on the wall that we needed to do this. And so as a company, we started building complete bikes.
When you were back in the shop, just making a bike for your kid and getting friends, did you even imagine that what you're telling me in 76, let alone 2020 was going to take place?
No, you know, my ambition was always like trying to build something then and there, right then, you know, for the kids who were racing, and I never really visioned 30 years or 20 years later.
Right.
I was always visioning what I had to do at that current time.
Okay. And now, you're involved in some of the local BMX tracks, right? Like you're just an intertwined part of the local BMX world as well as the international BMX world. Am I correct?
Well, that was back in the day. I mean, there was a time when my partner, business partner, Richard Long, and I actually were involved in quite a few of the tracks, running the tracks, you know, managing the tracks, along with our day-to-day routine of building the bicycles as well.
Okay. Now, I'm a part of it, even though I was a part of the kid BMX world, too. Are you just shocked by the fact that these BMX cruisers have become an entire second BMX industry to go with regular BMX?
Absolutely. I'm amazed that it's what, you know, things spawn out there with, but I think a lot of it has to do with guys that really, really love the bike, the look. And some of them are the older, the dads of kids that raced back in the day, you know, they were racing back in the day and now they're a dad and they have a kid. And I think they like riding the cruisers.
Yeah. Whenever I see dads, cause all little kids still ride BMX bikes. So whenever I see them on the Strand or in the parks and other areas, I always think like, why is that dad riding a stupid regular bike? He should be riding a BMX cruiser so he can match up with his kid, you know?
No, I think so too. I see him riding these regular bikes and, but you know, there was an awful lot of parents that were not involved in BMX, but there was a ton of parents that were involved in BMX that truly understand the bikes. The biggest problem I see as far as this cruiser, is that, you know, in the BMX, world, the 26 inch cruiser was only popular for a short period of time between 79 and 81.
Okay.
After that, it became a 24 inch cruiser because of the wheel. That was the deciding factor. Back in the early days, they had made the old beach cruiser, paperboy bike, and Schwinn and
I had Western one of those
Flyer and, you know, Columbia and, you know,
The bigger kids were putting BMX bars on those and bunny hopping them over rails.
Absolutely.
In Schwinn Strand Cruiser form. That was
right.
Like bunny hopping a tank.
Absolutely. And so there was always the availability of taking one of those Schwinn or other brand type of the wheels. And it was easy enough to build a frame, fork, and handlebar to fit that. We just didn't have that. And that's what we started using was that Schwinn wheel.
Right.
You know, because it was a 26 and it was available. And then all of a sudden they realized that the 24 was a lot more compact and easy to manipulate around a BMX track.
True.
And so a wheel maker out of Japan started making the 24 inch wheel. And when they did, the 26 just died of overnight death.
Yeah, I didn't know that it had a first go around. I do remember 24s, but not 26s.
Yeah, 26s, the alloy wheels and everything came about, you know, some months after when BMX first started using 26s, and the demand for 26s in BMX was actually parents, because they had opened up the, there were so many people racing, they had opened up the class to like parents racing.
Yep.
And when the parents started racing, it was the cruiser class, and they were the ones that wanted to race the 26s. And so, you know, they were the ones that took the 26-inch wheel from the beach cruiser, and we saw the need and the desire, so we started cranking out some 26-inch frames.
Okay.
And but like I say, when the 24 came about, even the appearance, and everybody just dropped the 26. And so, we only really had about a year and a half of life.
Do you possess any of those old 26s still? Are they floating around?
They're floating around out there. They've got a high value.
Right.
If you can find a mint condition 26-inch GT frame or some of the other frames that were out there, they've got a value if they're in mint condition or near mint condition.
There's GTs all over the internet, olden GTs, and they have, people are treating them like gold, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that it's amazing when I go see some of the GTs at some of these shows, and when I'm at a bike show and I see this stuff, it looks like jewelry to me. It's so, well, you know, guys have taken and put so much effort into making these things look like, you know, jewelry. You know, they were not that pretty when they left the bicycle factory back in the day.
And you guys had I remember, you know, I had the Schwinn, and then it took me a long time of paper routes, and I didn't have a lot of money growing up. I ended up trading like 300 Star Wars figures and 200 G.I. Joes for my first used GT.
Wow. That was a hell of a trade.
Yeah. Oh, I got the bike. I got the bike I wanted, and absolutely, it was yours.
If you got what you wanted, then you did good.
I did. Now your own son is making some of the most beautiful cruisers out there under your name, Gary Turner, or the company name Gary Turner. What do you think of the GTs that are coming from the company? You know, like, they're very popular on the rideouts, obviously. The ones that are coming out of this shop, they're exquisite. Like, everybody loves them. They're on a whole nother level. But even the standard GT cruisers are pretty cool. Do you like what you see? Would you do things differently?
You know, I don't think so. I think I would accept what they're doing today as far as some of the cruiser stuff. Some stuff I would probably have to have my touch on it.
Sure.
But for the most part, you know, they're nice looking product. It's, you know, it's a good looking bike. It's a shame that some of the prices have gone through the roof on bicycle stuff, but I do see that, you know, the cost of the raw materials and the cost of, you know, all the different things that have to go into building a bicycle have just escalated over the years, and it's just become an almost cost prohibitive. But so I can see where some of the designs are economic designs. But,
okay.
Yeah, they're good.
Well, I think it's good that you just said that into the camera, because all the people, not all, people that I see out on the rides, sometimes we think the prices are going up just because, oh, it's trendy or it's this or it's that. But that's not how life really works, right? It just costs more to make the bikes, right?
Absolutely. I just give you one example. Back in the day, we used to use 4130 chromoly, which is an aircraft structural material, and it was readily available. Today, it's not as available in the United States. It actually comes from the bulk of it comes out of Germany. A company called Bittler makes 4130 out of Germany, and they're still made some 4130 here in the States, but it's just, the sizing is really become prohibitive because there's not a demand for some of the thin wall material that we used on BMX.
Because you're using 4130 in its lightest form, correct?
Right. We were using 4130 in its lightest form, which is really thin wall, like 035 and 049 wall thickness. And it's not manufactured today, so we have to source it out to find the thicknesses we do. And the material is just astronomically gone crazy as far as price per foot.
Wow. And there's really just the one company in Germany. It's the only one off the top of your head that's putting this product
out?
Well,
yes, it's off the top of my head, but I'm sure, quite truthfully, there's other manufacturers of 4130 around the world and in the United States. I just am not in the daily routine of sourcing constantly, and some of the mills would probably make you a mill run of whatever size you wanted, but it's pretty costly, pricey, and so we kind of steer clear of that.
Yeah, then all of a sudden everything's a $1,700
exactly
frame, right?
Because you're paying so much per, it's based on price per foot. you know, material is. And so, yeah, it could be so extremely costly that, you know, it's not worthwhile.
Okay. Wow. I didn't think I'd be having this conversation. This is great stuff, actually. I'm glad to hear it.
You know, you have to remember, I mean, like I said, when I love building bikes, it's everything all in one. You know, in other words, I got to know how much I got to pay for it, but can I find the material? Is it available? Things as simple as chrome plating. Not like it used to be, because you've got all the environmentalists that are involved in the pollution, air pollution, and this and this and that, till it's gone through the roof to get a bike frame. I used to have a bike.
Even chroming has gone up.
Chrome plating of a bike frame.
Yeah. Really?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, back in the early 70s, I used to get a BMX frame chrome plated for about $5. I think the frame now is over $100 to just get the frame plated.
Really?
And then there's forks, and then there's handlebars and seat posts. All those have to be, you know, plated.
How much weight does chrome add to a frame?
It's not. It's actually less weight than that of painting.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that. I would think chrome weighs more. Okay.
It's less weight than painting a frame. Well, one of the things is you polish the hell out of the material to make it shiny so that the chrome, when it sticks to it, looks really shiny. And that takes a little bit of material off the, you know, off the frame.
Okay.
And then the chroming is just paper thin film that sticks to the frame. And it's just not that, it doesn't add any, almost no weight.
Oh, okay. Well, there's the pro version. I just pictured it being like liquid metal melted over the top of a bike.
Not like you think. People don't really realize it. It's more of a film.
Okay.
You know, that adheres to the metal.
Right. Oh, that's another great lesson. Do you still love being involved in BMX bikes?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's one of those things that it's been my life. And so I'd love to go and I get a real kick out of going to the bike, these shows that my son puts on. I get a real kick out of being at these shows and just looking at some of this stuff. And it doesn't, it could be any brand out there, any make of any kind out there. What these guys have done to make these things look like they look.
Yeah, it's like going to a hot rod show nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's like going to a car show.
Yeah, they've taken it to that level.
Yeah.
Well, from all the BMX community, I got to thank you because you're one of the reasons it's all here.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Oh, man. And I'm gonna sit down and talk to your son now.
Oh, how'd absolutely. He's a good person to talk to.
Okay. You want to introduce him yourself or should I do it?
Okay. Coming on board right now, I'm going to get up and he's going to sit down. It's my son, Craig, who's been building the bikes. He's been racing since he was 5 years old. And he's been building bikes for the last probably 3 years now. And it was just something that we one day talked about doing and doing a limited edition, and we just kind of got into it, and here we are still doing it today.
Yeah, exactly what you did the first time started happening all over again.
All over.
All right.
Yeah. Really? All right, Craig. Tells you how time flies.
All right. Let's welcome Craig Turner to the show, everyone. Thank you so much, Gary.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yes. It's really an honor. Okay, yeah. We'll have you come fix Craig's interview when it's over. Yeah. Everyone, you might have seen him in real life. You might see some of the most beautiful bikes on the scene are made with this man's hands. And that's one of the most important parts about interviewing you, Craig, is for all the other bikes that we all love, including yours are different because you're welding them with your own bare hands.
Yeah, I mean, basically pretty much, I'd say we're 100% organic. Man, I do everything from the start. I mean, I go pick up the metal, bring it back, cut it, cope it, clean it, throw it in the frame jigsters. I make all my frame jigsters here, weld it up, take it to the powder coater, pick it to the powder coater, bring it back, sticker it up, box it up, and ship it. So I'd say that's pretty much 100%.
Yeah, and it's not like you're doing one bike a month. You're like a one-man factory right now, correct?
Yeah, yeah. We just, about a year and a half ago, GT, you know, because, you know, my dad sold GT off about 98. And I retired, so GT's owned by another enemy entity. And they reached out to us about a year and a half ago about doing a project with them, doing some American-made GTs, which was a cool concept. So it took a while to get all the paperwork and, you know, everything, the contracts done. And we went forward with it in the beginning of December. So did 100 for direct sales for us, so basically a license agreement with GT. And then we did another 25 for their marketing brand.
And how are we going to see those bikes appear? Because if you want one of his bikes, it's basically a direct contact situation at this point. But if you want one of the GT bikes made by Craig, how's that going to work?
Well, they're already sold out.
So no way.
Yeah, we did.
They're done.
We sold 100 direct pretty much in 4 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks. First 50 went in the first week. And then the first day we sold about 25 online.
What size are they?
All 26. So we're going to do the 26 for the tribute bike because, you know, that's the actual frame that got us back into the business about 6 years ago, which is a pretty cool story. Is me and my dad went out to Whittier Narrows out that area.
Okay, that's the show.
Bike show, yeah. And that's when they had the show in the park there. And, you know, the old man was walking around talking to everybody. And we actually saw one of his original 26 GTs.
Oh, the one that he was discussing earlier.
Yeah, correct.
70 something?
They made those from 79 to 81.
So okay.
They only did about 100 of those.
Okay.
Pretty cool. And he goes, man, if I built a bike again, that's the one I'd do again. We didn't build that. And he goes, well, let's do it. Let's build one.
Right.
Right.
Did you know how to weld at the time?
I knew how to weld, but I, all through high school, I mean, I took metal shop. I knew how to weld, but, you know, right out of high school and stuff, I got interested in law enforcement, so I became a cop. So
I didn't know that.
For 28 years.
Okay.
And I retired from there. I'd say about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
But about 6 years ago, and my dad goes, hey, let's hit up Johnny Severin, you know, a True Torch.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't, you know, he's speaking like everyone else. Johnny True Torch, I didn't know about him until I ended up on the scene, but even like Cheech, you know, the head of 4130, he's like, yeah, Johnny True Torch make me this frame. So
yeah, Johnny is definitely a master, man. That guy is.
And he was welding back in.
Oh, he's been welding all his life, that guy.
And what company, who did he used to weld for?
I don't know all the companies. I know he worked for GT for a little bit.
Okay, he worked for you guys, yeah, he worked for your dad.
For a little bit. I think everybody, my dad would say everybody worked for
okay, one all time, right.
Which is pretty cool.
Okay, so.
But yeah, we went to Johnny, and Johnny agreed to build the first batch of 20. So we did 126 frames.
Okay.
And sold all those out. And those were a big hit.
Frame and fork, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And then
frame
what?
Fork and handlebars.
Okay, and bars. And then you guys were just getting parts from everywhere else?
No, we were just using GT. Guys are building out their own frames and forks. You know, that I'm still the same way.
Sure.
Guys will hit me up now. We'll do some complete, but not many.
Okay.
I don't have the time to do it.
Okay, well, that's a good
and my buddy
question.
Albert that works for me here.
All right.
He does all that stuff for me. But it was pretty cool. It was, you know, the way, you know, Johnny did it all. You know, I started brushing back in the welding here and I was fortunate at that time to have some really cool welders come to work for me. A kid named Logan Bennett first came in.
Okay.
He was, you know, fresh out of high school and stuff. Great welder.
We're probably doing good, but hold it a little close.
All right. And then next came Javier, call him Gargle Balls.
Okay. All right.
All right. But
shout out to Gargle Balls.
And then right after that, a guy named Joe Weaver came and worked for me.
And you were working on your own welding the whole time?
Yeah,
with them?
Well,
okay.
And I was very fortunate and blessed to have those three guys working for me. And they taught me a lot about welding.
Oh, okay.
And then another guy, I give shouts out to Ronald Shouten. He did all our, you know, I raced off-road for about 8-9 years.
Off-road? And, you were racing
like
off-road vehicles?
Off-road trucks.
Okay, so you started out as a kid racing BMX bikes and then made it up to off-road truck?
Yeah. So about 98, we started racing off-road.
Okay.
And I got a couple Baja 1000 wins and about 9
really?
Championships, so it was pretty cool.
You got Baja 1000 wins
and
stuff? Really?
Yeah. So that was a fun time of life. So that's where I met Ronald from. And Ronald still comes here and helps me out with welding stuff, teaches me. You know, people say I'm a master and stuff, but I'm not a master. You know, the masters are the Johnny Severins and
you've got masters showing you how to do the things that you're not great at.
Yeah.
Or
well,
become great.
I've gotten good at my craft now.
Okay.
Where that, you know, it used to take me 2 days to do a frame and now I could do one in an hour. So,
okay, all right, that makes sense.
Pretty cool.
Hey, when you were during your police period, did you think you were gonna end up back in BMX at any point? Like
No.
This is like your dad's story a second time around. It's Greek mythology or something.
It's just one of those things where, you know, you let it happen and, you know, we're still going strong.
And so what was it like when you were a kid and you're like riding some other frame and all of a sudden your dad's like, you know what? I'm going to make you one.
It was actually pretty cool, you know, having your dad as GT because all the kids on the on the block, were always at our house hanging out.
Uh-huh.
Of course, you know, the kids knew if they want to steal a bike, where to go to my house, because the garage is always open.
Okay.
Quite a bit of bikes stolen.
All right. Well, but luckily you could just make more.
Yeah. And, you know, it was cool growing up here. I mean, I got to hang out with all the rock stars, like Rob Day, Greg Hill, you know, Eddie Fiola, Martin Apparello. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Were those the guys you were racing with or the guys you were hanging out with?
Hanging out with.
Okay.
You know?
I randomly met Greg Hill when I was working in a bike pop-up in Culver City. This guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, I'm Greg Hill. And I'm like, Greg Hill. And
Yeah. All great guys. And, you know, they're all still sort of active in the sport.
Were you winning trophies as a BMX rider?
Yeah, I did. I wasn't the greatest.
You were better at off-road racing?
Yeah. Once I got some horsepower, you know.
So, what do you ride now?
Basically, I ride one of our 29s.
Okay, you're a 29 rider as well?
29 rider.
Is it the one that you were riding when I was riding next to you for when you guys combined with 4130 for the weekend that you threw?
Well, I mixed up. I got like four different ones, so I don't know if it was the pink one. I mean, I got, you know, I'm building a new one for myself. I just completed a 29 frame for Adam, and it's our new model for 2020.
Adam Mark. Uh-huh.
Adam Mark. And I got that sucker under 5 pounds. 1 ounce
what?
Under 5 pounds. Yeah, it's real thin material. But
a 29
frame.
For Molly. Under 5 pounds.
No way. Coat, it's going to put it over 5. But I mean, I was pretty stoked.
Man, what if you clear coat it? Can you keep it under 5?
When it's not just W40, I think keep it light.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, Adam hit me up and he goes, hey, man, you know, I really want a real light for Molly frame. So I'm knocked out of the ballpark.
Well, I mean, I, you know, during the interview with him, I saw the sidecar bike that you made for him, for his dog, his kid. And what are the dual bikes called? I always forget. The tandem. You made him a tandem, right? Yep, he said you have a tandem too.
Yeah, I sold that.
You did? You got rid of your tandem?
Some guy came in here offering me stupid money. I can't refuse it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Plus, you can make another if you have to.
Yeah.
And do you have your wife on a Geary Turner bike?
Yeah, she's got a... it was pretty cool. My wife just fought breast cancer and she's clear of it now.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. The folks at GT Center won their pink dyno before, not dyno, but performer cruiser.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. And she's got one original Geary Turner's, that Johnny Seven built.
Oh, wow. And you're very public about that. And you do a lot of charity work to fight cancer through the company, through yourself, right?
Yeah. So we start a little foundation called F Cancer Bikes, and what we do is we'll take money and we buy some lower level bikes, and we give them to people who are actually fighting cancer and stuff, which is pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, that's an important thing to mention.
Yeah,
I see it on your Instagram, you know, and I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
So that's great that she's doing great. That must feel wonderful, right?
Yeah, so she just had foot surgery. She can't be on her foot for the next 3 months. So I just built her a tandem, which is going to be pretty cool. But instead of pedals in the back for her, it's going to be footboards.
Oh,
so
nice.
So she could just sit back there and cruise.
Did you put gears on there for you?
No, I'm just going to go the real spinny gears. So it's just going to be for the beach.
Here's a side question that I have never asked anybody before, but I think of all the time. What's your opinion on putting gears on a BMX bike?
Well, not gonna lie, I do have one with but it's an A-speed hub in the back.
Okay.
I actually like it. It's pretty cool.
Internal.
Yeah, internal.
Okay.
But you know, if you want to stay traditional BMX, it's gotta be a free will.
Yeah, like I could see in real life, or maybe when I get older and I do need gear, you know, like when I'm 80 or something. Like I get it then. But right now I'm like, one of the things I love about BMX is no gears.
Yeah. I mean, this bike, I sort of wanted to build a mountain bike / BMX bike.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't like the look of the derailleur and stuff. So that's why I went with the A-speed hub in the back. And that's what we did for Adam's tandem. So we did the same setup.
Okay. When you guys were still in possession of GT, or when your dad was he involved in the mountain bike area? Or was it the other company by then? Because GT started making
He was still working with the mountain biking stuff.
Were you a mountain biker at any point?
Yes, I raced a lot of downhill stuff.
Oh, really? You're a downhill guy too, huh?
I did some cross country.
Okay. Well, cross country?
Yeah.
On what, a mountain bike? Or on
mountain bike.
How far is a cross country?
Too long for me.
Okay. You came back thin.
Yeah.
Dehydrated and skeleton-like?
Well, mostly that was just for training for the downhill stuff, you know.
Okay.
You know, get the endurance up.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I hit up Carver Canyon Park over here in Yorba Linda and ride those hills all the time.
And then you like bombing hills, right?
Oh, yeah.
All downhill guys love bombing hills, right? I'm a brake dragger when it comes to downhill. For some reason, that's kind of my kryptonite to some degree.
Yeah.
So what, you just love picking up speed and just...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done downhill in a while.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I mean, I was actually racing BMXer for, I haven't raced in about 2 years, but started racing again on the cruisers, and it was pretty fun.
Okay. Well,
I decided I'm the only one here welding, so I can't do it no more.
Yeah. As I get older, the desire to get hurt becomes, desire not to get hurt becomes greater and greater. But, you know, I still jump off of stuff. Do you still ride to some degree on that level?
This winter I haven't, but yeah, I still like to go up and when I can go do a 4130 ride and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
When I can get up there and do it.
Yeah. And how often do you do the rides?
I haven't done one in a while.
Okay.
Been a little sloppy. So,
okay. But
my goal is to get back on and get out there and, you know, I mean, that's where the marketing is at. If, you know, if I got to get out there with my customers and hang out with them and stuff.
Oh, your bikes are out there, though. I will say that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a great, you know, customer base. I mean, all my customers that come in, you know them by name, and some diehard Gary Turner fans out there.
Do you ever make it up north?
No.
Okay. You ever see that happening?
Yeah, eventually.
Right?
Eventually.
Yeah, maybe you got to come out for a little while. You have a bike that you make. You have to go see it out there in the world and let everyone meet you a little bit more.
Yeah, but it's hard when you're here, one, you know, doing all the work and stuff, trying to get out. You know, if I do get on the weekends, you know, we got a place in Park, Arizona. We go up to the river and hang out.
Okay. Yeah, you do have a family and a life, right? And
yeah.
You are probably, even if we don't see you on the ride, you're more heavily involved in BMX than the rest of us because you're just making the bikes all day and all night, right?
Yeah, you know. Plus, I like to get out to the races also. We got about 15 people on our BMX race team.
That's right. So, what? Kids, cruisers, 20s?
Oh, we got a 5-year-old up to 50-year-old guys.
Okay, and what do you guys are putting them on the bikes? They're the team. They're bringing home the trophies, just like the 80s and the 70s, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, and what do you? So you're still heavily involved in the original world of BMX, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys still like, you know, in the magazines and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we get a little coverage there from the magazines.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
And what's your feelings and or opinion? I mean, obviously you've got to love it because a lot of the bikes that you make now are going there. What do you think of this new cruiser resurgence? Did you ever imagine there'd be two worlds of BMX?
I think it's great. I never imagined it, but you know, I mean, Todd Lyons, he kicked it off pretty good.
He really did, right?
He started this ball rolling and, you know, he's a great ambassador for it. I mean, a guy that could design a bike, market it, go out there and still ride it.
Out of control. You are not. I mean, you are in general, but not during this wheelie.
He's, you know, 15 years old. I mean, the guy's an animal.
Dude, I've physically seen him jump. Like, he's at least 15 feet in the air from one dirt, like, just like the kids up in Santa Cruz. Like, you wouldn't know if the guy didn't have the beard and he was wearing a mask, you would think that it's a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
He's literally flying through the air. It's absolutely. I couldn't do it at 16 and I can't do it now, but he definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to hear you give this credit to him because, Bill Holman from Bassett was also giving credit to how attractive your bikes are. And he's saying that, like, for the brand crazy riders, these guys aren't at war with each other or saying, like, oh, GT, PK, we're, you know, this is better, this is that. Like, you guys have all been around for a long time. Everybody's fairly on the same team, and there's a big enough market for everybody, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bill's doing a great job with Bassett there and his, you know, technique line. And now he's got his bike shop, which is really cool because, you know, people got an avenue to where they could go out there and get, you know, build the bike that they want. And Bill is, you know, he's on the forefront of doing that. You know, a complete American-made bike. And I go to Bill to get parts. He makes my wheels. I mean, me and Bill work a lot together. People say, oh, you guys got a grudging. No, we don't.
I
love Bill to death. You know, he works his ass off. He's into this 100%.
Oh, well, then it's great to hear you guys are doing wheels together because, you know, there's all the bikes that are coming out of the factories and stuff, which we've given credit to. And then there's your brand and his brand, which are both American made. Yours are literally Orange County, California, American made with those hands that are holding my microphone.
Yep.
And, he's doing your wheels for you. And that's probably good because a lot of people are like.
You got to remember also, I mean, another cog to the wheel with Bassett is, you know, Paul Bassett. He's the one actually, you know, building all these frames, which is, you know, he does what I do. And, you know, like the last time I saw him at a bike show, he was pretty tired. I'm like, man, what's up? Always like, dude, I got my day job and I got to go home and love all these bikes, man. I know how you feel, bro. So you got to give Paul Bassett a little shout out, too.
All right, we're giving Paul Bass a little shout out right now. So he's doing what you're doing. He's just making them with his bare hands. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You guys should do a crossover one time, like a half a Bassett, half a Gary Bassett.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, we got some cool collab stuff coming up. I'm doing some stuff with some different companies, like Ruka, the clothing company.
Okay.
I'm doing a big build for them starting here.
What, and, like their logos on one of your bikes?
Yeah.
They're designing it, you're building it?
Yep. And then, you know, some other big companies have reached out and talked to me about doing some more brandy kind of bikes. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that's great. Because that's like I hate to sound just like a goofball, but that's like Orange County Choppers. You know, how you like, they started building all those steam motorcycles.
No, I'm not doing, I'm not doing no firefighter.
No, I don't mean crazy like that. But like, if you have the companies coming in doing crossovers with you, you know, I'm sure you're making them to some degree, like, to the, with the company.
Oh, yeah.
Work out together, right?
You know,
yeah, I didn't mean in. You know, you're going to make like some cartoon.
The team of bikes, you know, I'm doing the stuff for the Dromino bikes. And
okay, yeah. Victor, and shout out to you.
Little Victor.
Yeah.
You know, and we're working on Bullseye now. We're going to do a Bullseye bike for Bullseye.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be pretty cool. We're going to do a 25 limited edition frame fork, but it's going to be a complete build with all this stuff on it.
Yeah, well, I definitely knew you were involved in the Dromino bike because I've seen a bunch of them and, you know, I see Victor all the time. And I knew you made them, but I didn't know what I was entitled to be saying right here. But yeah, those are also done by you.
Yeah.
For him, right?
Yeah, I designed those for him. And
oh, you did the design on those. Yeah. Those things are like with the bottom bar, they're their own style. And have you seen what all the different guys are doing with them?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool.
I forget his name right now. It's like BMX Porn, like on Instagram. He used like a silver on that bike. And the bike looks so plush. It's my favorite Geronimo. I mean, there's some more exciting ones, but I like my stuff simple, you know?
Yeah.
And this one's just perfect.
I like to say, you know, it's pretty cool what I'm doing. I just create the canvas. And some of these guys come up with, you know, some pretty cool stuff. And, you know, I make the canvas and let them design it.
Are you designing the sticker packs too?
For our bikes?
Yeah, for your bike.
No, my buddy Brian Zellner,
okay.
One of my graphics guys, he did that. Right now he's working on our new 2020 stuff, so we're coming out with a whole new sticker pack for the 2020
models. You get excited by your own bike?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I like, you know, I go to sleep with new designs in my head and stuff, and then I gotta back off. Oh, that's just too crazy. Like when Adam hits me up, hey, I need a new bike for the bike show, like I start going crazy. And the last bike show we did, the world championship one, and oh, we gotta do something crazy. And I'm sitting there thinking, we gotta back off here. We're getting away too far from BMX.
Okay.
You know? So I had to rein him back in a little bit, and we did it, and that bike still won.
But you do have the lightning bolt frame out there.
Yeah, you know, just like when CW did it. So I didn't want to copy them 100%. So basically, I just flipped the lightning bolt
in
a different way and changed the back end up. So.
And then I did see that rare lightning bolt forks you made.
Yeah.
Which that was a lot of work, you said, right?
Yeah, a lot of work.
And then with Adam's bike, you're talking about the black one, right? And then it's got the
four or five of mine now.
Oh, yeah. The one that won the show winner, which was two episodes from this episode
ago. Oh, yeah, the black and gold one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not gold. It's not copper. It is. It's copper, I think.
Yeah, it's copper.
Yeah, he was pretty specific about what it is.
Yeah.
That was you also, right?
Yeah, yeah. I designed that up from the bottom. I mean, it was just took some ideas from an old BMX stuff back in the day, like. The old Jag bike had that one big top tube.
Dude, I remember. But wasn't Jag the one that looked like Mongoose for a couple minutes? Am I getting confused with their stickers?
I have no idea.
All right. There were so many back then. Do you ever get down to like the last two out of 100 bike run and you're like, I should keep one?
I do save. Somebody told me about a year or so ago that I should start saving my bikes I build. So now when I do some runs, I build one and I just put it upstairs and save it just for
sake. Okay. So, you got the 2020s coming out.
Yep.
You spoke with your father. I think you should come out on more rides.
Yeah,
personally.
I'll be out there.
Yeah. Do you have Anything else you'd like to say to the BMX world?
No, I just want to thank everybody and keep riding and stay safe out there. I know we're all going through some troll times right now, but we'll get through it. We'll get through it. The BMX community is a strong one, and we'll just keep pedaling on through.
Man, thank you so much for doing this interview. I really appreciate it. All right, that's another episode of the Race BMX Show with both Craig and the legend Gary Turner.